Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo with tape number 39 of Eating and Drinking the Lord, Flow of Life from the Kingdom of Heaven, which we are to coordinate all that is us in cooperation with the Word of the Lord so that we are flowing in the Spirit with Him. So before we start, we're going to be reading from the 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. I didn't write a message today. We're just going to read from the Bible there. But let's all ask the Lord to bless the reading of this word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these messages on eating and drinking and the flow of life, life itself, that we are able to partake in the gift of eternal life because we are partakers of the altar. We all eat from you, which we're on the altar, and therefore we cannot eat from you unless we also are partakers of the altar. Why would anyone want to partake in eating your body and drinking your blood? In other words, our bodies being broken so that you can flow out of them and that we would drink your blood, in other words, drink the cup to do the things that you've done, if we ourselves are not partakers of the altar. That is, you went on the altar, and we are to eat and drink you, and breathe you, and we must be on the altar ourselves. We must have surrendered ourselves completely unto you in order to be eating and drinking of you worthily. We also must be partakers of the altar. So, Father God, we ask that you open up every heart, soul, mind, and spirit to receive the word of truth, not only to receive it into our minds, our hearts and souls, our spirits, but that we do it because we know that if we are not partakers of the altar, if we are not on the altar ourselves, then the knowledge of the word of God is meaningless. Lord, we ask that you let these messages, all of them, sink deep into our ears and into our hearts and souls and spirits so that we can be partakers of the Holy Communion, that is the communion between you and us and you, until the end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, so let's start reading chapter 10, 1 Corinthians.
Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea.
All right, right there tells us they were all baptized in one baptism. Now that baptism is Christ. Amen? Yeah. We're baptized into his death. And his death is that we no longer partake in the things of the world. Amen? They no longer partake in the things of Egypt. That they were taken out of Egypt to live a holy life in Christ. Okay, then what?
And we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea.
Right, in the cloud and in the sea, the water. Both waters, amen? That's your holy waters, to be baptized into Christ's death. So in order to be part of Christ, we have to be partakers of the things that he did also. Amen?
Amen?
We have to be baptized into his death. Then when?
And did all eat the same spiritual
meat.
There
it is, drinking and eating. Amen?
Amen?
The same spiritual meat. They all had the same word, five books of Moses, and they all ate the same manna. Amen?
Amen.
That came by the Spirit. Manna, this type of manna that tasted like coriander seed, doesn't grow wild on the desert. If you go out there now, there's no more. The manna stopped growing after the 40th year, after they were in the Holy Land, into Canaan land. It no more appeared in the desert. Amen?
Amen.
But they all partook in it as one body, one bread, one baptism, one spirit. And anyone who refuses to do what the Lord wants us to do, they started murmuring out on the desert and they fell away. because they were not, they just decided not to have Holy Communion with the Lord. They just started hating, despising the test that they were going through. And they were to be our examples as to the goodness of God and the severity of Him also. His Spirit leaves if you're not willing to be on the altar with Him so that you can partake of Him and to partake in His Holy Communion, which means that His body was broken, and so if you're going to be in communion with Him, in agreement with Him, in cooperation with Him, then your body has to be broken. Your spirit, that is. He loves those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Amen?
Amen.
And we also have to drink the cup of whatever He tells us to do. He had to drink the cup to go to the cross, and we have to carry a cross also. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me, and there's one for you too. Now, if you're not willing to partake in it, don't think for 1 minute you're going to be able to partake in the kingdom of heaven. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Then what?
And did all drink the same spiritual drink?
Oh, the same spiritual drink. They all did. Even though they partook in it, some of them started murmuring and they fell away. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of them. Some people say it was 1.5 million. Some say it was 3 million people. And only two of them were able to get into the Holy Land, Joshua and Caleb. Even Moses couldn't get in, because he transgressed. You cannot transgress. Now, Moses was great in the eyes of the Lord for 40 years, and he couldn't go into the Holy Land. He couldn't get into that which is symbolic of heaven. The Lord let him in heaven because we see that he and Elijah appeared to Jesus when he was transfigured. And so that shows that Moses came in, but not in the flesh. In the spirit, amen, into the Holy Land. Okay, keep going.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ.
They drank and ate of the Lord. This is Holy Communion. If you're eating of the Lord, you're communicating with Him, amen?
Amen.
And if you're drinking of Him, and if you're baptized with Him, and if you're broken with Him, and if you're drinking the same cup of Him, that's Holy Communion, not yammering to Him only. Because reading His word and yammering to Him, like yakking to Him, that isn't enough. We have to be broken, and we have to drink the cup. We have to do. Not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. James says, I'll show you my faith by my works, the things that I do, that the Lord says to do. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're not living a Christian life. Okay. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I didn't make this up. It's right in the Word. Okay, then what?
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Right, they went through the baptism. They all ate spiritual food and drank spiritual waters, amen,
amen,
and partook in the Scriptures. But the Lord wasn't pleased with them. And what happened? Read that again. So just because you read the word and just because you are baptized doesn't mean that that's the final thing. You have to continue to the end, the Bible says, to be saved. Amen?
Amen.
You can't begin and then quit, because the Lord says He takes no pleasure in those kind of, quote, Christians, unquote. They're just professors. And these people that started out with Christ and then fell away on the desert, those 40 years, were not able to enter the Holy Land or the kingdom of heaven either. Then what?
But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness.
Yes, and did God overthrow them? No, it was the devil, their own lust, the lust of their flesh. The tempter tempted them. They wanted onions and garlics and leeks, and they wanted meat. Birds. Then what?
Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted.
Well, what is evil things? Well, anything that you get angry at God for that you want and you can't have. God doesn't want you to have it. And then if you want to get angry at God because he doesn't give you something that he knows will throw your soul, well, then he gets angry at you, and you can't fight him. You might as well just lay down, yield unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And forget about what you want. And in other words, what your will is, what your flesh is, what your will wants to cooperate with your lusts rather than that which the Lord wants or desires. And the Lord desires that you do his will. Amen?
Amen.
And if you don't, well, he desires to put you on the heap, or the trash heap, where you're going to be burnt. Burning forever. It's just the Bible, isn't it? Okay. Now, these people just murmured because they wanted chicken. Not chicken and dumplings. See, just chicken and onions and garlic and leeks. So much so that they wanted to go back to the world, to sin, Satan, and the world of Egypt. They wouldn't mind being beaten and their children being killed and everything, rather than be safe with the Lord and have the Lord fight all their enemies for them. They murmured and complained. And they murmured and complained about the giants. When God showed them that he just ran them off with a bunch of hornets, tiny insects ran the giants off. So how much more would he have done it if the people of Israel would have prayed to him and said, Lord, we don't know how, but somehow get rid of these giants for us, because we're little and they're big, but we trust you that you're going to do something. Amen?
Amen.
And they didn't do that, and that's why they had to stay on the desert for 40 years. They could have made it into the promised land in just a few days, a handful of days, and be enjoying all that, and wouldn't have had to go through the crucifixion of their flesh on the desert for all those years. But they didn't. And then they started murmuring at God. It was their fault that they were there, and then they started murmuring at God because they didn't have chicken and dumplings with onions, garlics, and leeks in it. I'm just facetious about the dumplings. Okay, then what? And it was, other birds. What else?
Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them.
Mm. Idolaters, they idolized the chicken, or the pheasants, the quail, whatever. Birds with feathers and wings on. And they wanted some, onions that you can now go down to the store and buy. And they sell their soul for such things as that. The heavenly manna wasn't a miracle enough for a bunch of people that sinned, even after they didn't trust God enough to get rid of the giants. God still had mercy on them and let them drink that spiritual drink, the water, and from the rock, which is Christ Jesus. And he let them eat manna from the ground every day, and their shoes didn't wear out, nor did their clothing wear out. Lord had mercy on them, even though they were that wicked. And then they still had the nerve to commit fornication. They rose up and played when Moses was up in the mountain. They started fornicating and everything, and were built a golden idol, a calf, and wanted that calf to lead him back to Egypt. And then people wonder, people are people. Right, and Lord doesn't want people. He wants regenerated people. People that believe him and do what he says. Amen?
Amen.
People that are just satanic, he doesn't want. So if you don't want him, you don't show it. After he died, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came to this world in a man, in the body of a human, and kept all the commandments himself by the Spirit of God that was in him. And the Lord gives us that Spirit. He gives us that spiritual manna, water. He gives us the spiritual breath. He gives us everything, the seed, all the spiritual things incorporated within the container, the seed, the grain. And yet, people murmur. It's just like a bona fide guarantee if you continue on eating and drinking and breathing the Lord and taking the seed and watering it every day by reading. And growing, let the tree of life grow in you, guarantee that you're going to be in heaven. Yet people just are short-sighted. They just want what they see in the world, and they let the things of this world influence them, And therefore, they fall. They get sick, and they fall away. Like in the 11th chapter, it talks about people getting drunk before they come to commune with the Lord, to read His Word, and to eat His Word, and to breathe His Word, and to accept the seed and be watered. No, they come and they just stuff themselves with the communion, and they become drunken. And the Bible says in that same chapter, chapter 11, that they get sick, and many of them have fallen asleep and gone into the pit of hell because of their desecration of the Holy Communion. They don't commune with the Lord by eating and drinking and breathing Him and watering themselves with Him, but they go there for other purposes, for lusts, for lusting. Many people go into church to try to find a husband or a wife. They're going there for the wrong reasons, and there's no desire to communicate with the Lord, to have Holy Communion with Him. And they're idol worshippers, they're idolaters, because they're all worshiping something in this world. With the Jews, it was like bird flesh, onions, golden calf, leeks, garlics. They sell their soul for such trivia. Then out of the Lord. And then they're afraid after the Lord turned Egypt upside down. They're afraid that the Lord wouldn't be able to defeat a bunch of carnal giants. And He did. Okay, then go ahead.
As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.
Right. Amen. They ate and drank. The Lord stuffed them with those birds until it was coming out of their nostrils. Then they started playing. That's a bad game to play, is to fornicate and commit adultery and to be homosexuals and lesbians. That's a bad game to play. You're going to pay a horrible, horrible price for that one. They all fell dead on the desert. Then what?
Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000.
There's 23,000 people just in one day. Then what?
Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents.
Right. That's why the Lord told Moses to have someone make a serpent, a brass serpent, which is symbolic of Christ becoming the serpent for us. We're serpents. But the Lord became a serpent for us so that we have a chance to do things the way that the Lord says for us to do, to communicate with Him in Holy Communion, to eat His flesh and to drink His blood, and to, for us, He says, this is My body broken for me, for you. Now, if you're His body, then you're broken for Him. Okay? Because He can only live in a person that's broken. If you're His body, He says, this is My body, which is broken for you. For what? For what? What do you mean by for you? Well, for us, He says, because when they were broken, when Paul was broken, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, approximately. When Peter was broken, we have his epistles with us today. And when the rest of them were broken, we have their works to identify with, so that we are able to identify with them by communing with the Lord as they did. There are examples. Then what?
Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer.
Right. They were all murmuring, and so they were destroyed by Satan. Satan tempted them to murmur, and they did. They complained, they ranted and raved, and it was like a madhouse. Till Moses said, have I begotten these people? There's so many of them here. And they murmured and complained and yelled and screamed, and they were destroyed. The tempter tempted them to murmur and complain, and the Lord sent a destroying angel to destroy them. And then the next chapter talks about women having their head covered because of the angels. The Lord told me that they have to have power on their head. That means they have to have a husband that is powerful. They have to have a covering on their head because of the angels. Do you know what that means? Huh? Do you? Nobody here knows. Well, should I tell you this golden nugget? Okay, it's because the angels are the reapers, and if they see a woman without covering on her head, if they're not listening to their own husband, in the Lord, that is, of course. The angels, there's no power on their head for the angels to, they're the ones that reap the whole harvest of the world, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so because of the angels, you have to be with power on your, and a man has to have Christ on his head, for his head, amen?
Amen.
Okay, Christ is the head of the man. And the man is the head of the woman. Amen?
Amen?
Now, if you don't believe that, wait till the harvest comes and the angels come to get you. Amen? Think about it. If you have no power, if you reject, like these women in the world today, reject a godly man as the power on their head, for their head, you do that because of the angels. The angels are going to reap that which the Lord tells them to reap, to take to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
They're the ones that reap the harvest. If you want to be harvested, you better not make funny faces at your husband. In the Lord, you better be obedient unto him, because that's partaking, that's obeying the Lord. And disobedience is the same as witchcraft, and there'll be no power on your head. You have to have a covering. Amen?
Amen?
The Lord covers the man and the Lord, and the man covers the wife, and is the savior of her body. And keep your head covered because of the angels. They're going to come after you one of these days. One of these days you're going to hear them call your name. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody's calling you, so you better run. And what good is the good? You can't run inside the house when they come for you, right? You can try, but it won't do you any good, because they come right through the walls, right through the doors. And your body might be laying in the house, but your spirit's going to go right through the ceiling for judgment, and then right down to the ceiling. Okay, now do you understand? That's
yes.
A golden nugget, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so there's another one. Okay, then what?
Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written.
Yeah, for our examples, to see what happened to them for disobeying the Lord. And what happened to the ones that obeyed the Lord. Two of them got in. That's why the Lord says that few there be shall enter the kingdom of heaven thereof. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Right. Well, what does that mean? The ends of the world are come. Well, when it's your time, when it's the end of the world for you. Amen?
Amen.
To admonish you, because when the end of the world is for you, that's when you're going to say, oh, Lord, let me go back and get a covering for myself. Or if you're a man, you're going to say, Lord, let me go back and make you my head. No. You have to do it here and now. Amen?
Amen.
Right now. Okay, then what?
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man.
But well, everybody gets tempted. Amen. But the Lord, if we are involved truly in communion with him, I mean, we're suffering the same sufferings he went through, we're doing the same things he did because of the power of the Lord that's in us. We're led by the Spirit as he was. We're on the altar as he was, and we're partaking in the altar. How does that mean? Well, the Lord is on the altar, and we're partaking of his body and his blood. Amen?
Amen.
We're eating Christ, aren't we?
Yes.
And we're drinking Christ, and we're breathing Christ. So if we're partakers of the altar, if we're eating from the altar, don't you think that we are also on the altar? Why would you want to eat and drink and breathe Christ if you weren't, haven't sacrificed your body for his works? So you're on the altar too. We're all one bread, amen?
Amen.
He's the bread of life, and so we're one bread with him, amen?
Amen?
There's no division between Christ and his followers, true followers, right? We're all one bread. That's why the Lord doesn't want any leavening in us, amen?
Amen.
Because you can't be partakers of the Lord and of devils. And anyone that's not doing what the Lord says, it plainly states in this chapter that they are devils. You're partaking with devils. So as long as you're still alive, and if you've done it in ignorance, then repent right now and get back to the Lord. And just sacrifice yourself and don't be partakers with devils. We can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils.
But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
Right, because if you're of the Lord, and if you're not, you're being tempted already, and the Lord doesn't give you any guarantee whatsoever of not being tempted. You're tempted to not serve the Lord, and you're not serving the Lord. Or you are serving the Lord, and because of that, he with the Father lives in you by the Spirit, then there isn't any temptation, because we have the armor of God, and above all, the shield of faith with the armor, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen? The tempter, that is. So we just say no to the tempter, and so any temptation that comes our way, he doesn't allow it to be any more than that. The armor of God is sufficient. The shield of the Lord is sufficient to quench all temptations. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're of the Lord, of course, you're eating and drinking him daily so that you have that power in you to resist the temptations. Amen?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, then what?
But will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Right, and what is that way? The shield of faith, amen? Because all things are accomplished. What's our victory? Our faith, amen? The shield. Amen?
Amen.
Make sense?
Yes.
It's in the Word, amen? It's in the book. Okay, then what?
Wherefore, my dearly beloved,
just say no to the tempter, the tempter's temptations. Just raise up the shield and say, no, God said he can't do that. And go to heaven. And I'm going to heaven. The devil says, no, you aren't. I say, yes, I am. I'm not going to do what you say. I'm going to do what the Lord says. Okay, then what else?
Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry.
Yes, flee from anything that you worship in this world. Don't put anything in front of Jesus. Okay, because anything you put before Jesus is idolatry. I tell my wife all the time, don't even put me before Jesus, all right? Because I don't want to be your idol. And she says, don't worry about that. All right, then what? No, I'm just teasing. Okay, what else?
I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say.
Wise men are those that fear the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Yes. We bless the communion with Christ. I mean that we have fellowship with him and we're communing with him. We're actually living his kind of life, the Jesus kind of life. We are living according to what he leads us in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit because there's no condemnation to us if we walk in the Spirit, not after the lust of the flesh. We walk in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus. The Lord. Okay, then what?
The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?
Right. The bread that we break, and we're all one bread, so we all get broken. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says we're all one bread. So if we're, the only way we could all be one bread is if we're all broken. Amen?
Amen.
Our spirits, that is, because the Lord says he loves those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Amen?
Amen.
And if our spirits are broken, then we're, the Lord can't use anything whole. We have to be broken before he can use us. Because he can work into our brokenness, work himself into our brokenness, and he can also work himself out of that brokenness to the world through us. Amen?
Amen.
If you've got something that's just sealed up, you can't get in there, you can't penetrate, and he can't get out. He can't get in to get out. Amen? And he wants to work through human flesh. The Bible says that it pleases the Lord that the world would be saved by the foolishness of preaching the gospel. And he preachers are human beings with the Spirit of God in them. So the foolishness of using humans that are filled with His Spirit, broken humans that are living by His Spirit, that are in communion with Him, to be instant in season and out of season, where they are sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, that when it comes down, even if they're sleeping, they'll say, like Samuel, "What is it, Lord? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Is there something you want me to do?" Or like any person of the Lord. Then what?
"For we being many are one bread and one..."
And Jeremiah was pretty young, wasn't he? Wasn't he a young man?
Yes.
The Lord tells us, not, you know, even if you're a baby Christian, He says, don't let anybody despise your youth or say that you haven't been around as long as us. If the Lord's telling you to do something, do it when you're young. The Lord told me to do a lot of things when I was young in the Lord, and I just didn't feel like doing it because there were some people that were saved 50 years more than myself, and He was sending me to rebuke them. And I said, "Lord, how am I going to do that? This guy's been saved for 50 years before me. Or how can I tell Sue anything? She's been saved 35 years before me." He says, "Do it. Or you know what my story is. I told you in the office, tell people what I'm telling you to tell them, that Christ is coming back to earth again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to earth, and thou shalt surely die. And when I tell you to do something, do it." And Mary in the Bible said, "Whatsoever He tells you to do, do quickly." Amen?
Amen.
Don't hesitate. Don't be saying, "Well, you know, only Tony can do that. Or only Sue can do that. Or only this person or that person." No. You will be in communion with the Lord and be responsive to His requests as well, or you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be a partaker of the altar. You have to be broken and used. Just like all of us slobs. And Paul called himself worse than slobs, the scourge of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
The whipping boys. You're going to have to be just like us whipping boys. Okay? The ones that take the whippings all the time. Have I not had some whippings? Huh?
Yes.
Did not Paul have whippings?
Yes.
So we're whipping boys. Amen?
Amen.
Did Christ take whippings?
Yes.
Amen. And you will too. That's what it means to carry the cross. Okay, then what?
"For we being many are one bread and one body."
Hey, so I mean, if I got to do it, Paul has to do it, you got to do it. We're all one bread, amen?
Amen.
And this is my body. This bread here is my body. You're part of the body of Christ? You say you are. And you have to be broken and consumed by the Lord on the altar, ready for action. Whenever the Lord desires. Otherwise, you're disobedient, a witch. Be ready for it. Prepare yourself for it. Don't be afraid of it, because He'll be with you even in the fiery furnace. Amen. He was with me in prison for the gospel's sake. He's been with me in many other situations and courtrooms and everything else. And it was glorious. But you think about it, "Oh, am I going to do this?" Don't even think about it, because you don't know if it's ever going to happen to you. But if it does, praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I had done some very good reproving in the courtroom. He says, "Don't even think what to say," and I didn't. And I tell you, the things that came out of my mouth made everybody astounded in the courtroom. Well, they were accusing me of everything. good things came out of my mouth that just astounded them. And the judge became, you know, an admirer of that, because I believe they know that those answers didn't come from me, all right? But the Lord says He'll fill your mouth in that time. Then what?
"For we are all partakers of that one bread."
Yeah, we all have to. If Jesus is the bread of life, and we're that part of that bread, we have to partake in the same things Christ has to partake in. That's what it's saying. Amen?
Amen.
So don't think you're getting off the hook. Was Christ a whipping boy, and then you're not going to get whipped too? if you're not going to go through some fire, you're not going to be like gold, and you're not going to partake in the kingdom of heaven. We have to partake in his sufferings here, which are nothing in comparison to the glorious things that we inherit because of it. And this sounds like, oh, dreadful. No, it's dreadful to go to hell. Because in no matter what I've gone through for the Lord, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. When I went to prison, I thought, oh, God, you know. And I've been through a lot of things in prison for the gospel. But I was having a ball with it. You know, I was winning souls. Me being a Jewish person, they put me in with Palestinians. And the Palestinian guy and I were best friends in there, because the war between the Palestinians and Jews is a contrived thing that's being stirred up all the time by the Vatican. And they're subjects that are around that particular area. And there's over 300 different types of battalions. I heard one of them say, the Jews, they were saying, we only have 8 units, and there's like hundreds upon hundreds of other units that have come against us. And he said, who's going to drive us into the sea? You were there when you heard that, right? Yeah. He said, there's 600 different units of squadrons of people that have come after us, and with only 6 squadrons, or 8, I forget what he said, he says, they're nothing. And I says, when I was over there, I asked him, are you not afraid that Russia will come over here? I was just testing them out. And he says, are you kidding? They're stupid. I said, why do you think you can win? He says, because we've got heart. This is our land. They don't have any heart. They're coming over here because they're paid to. They're hirelings. They don't want to fight. But this is our land that they're coming after, and we will fight, and we'll drive them into the sea. Who, after 600 battalions that come over here to try to destroy us, who's going to drive us into the sea? Nobody. We've got God, they said. Amen?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Behold Israel after the flesh.
Yeah, that's flesh. The flesh of Israel is nothing. Then what?
Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?
Right. Read that again. Are we not what?
Are not they which eat of the sacrifices?
If we're eating Christ and drinking Christ and breathing Christ, are we not what?
Partakers of the altar.
Are we not on the altar too? Because if you're one bread with him, by God, you're going to be doing what he does too. Because if you eat of him and drink of him unworthily, you're going to get sick and die. If you just know what you're supposed to do and you don't do it, you're not partakers of the altar. If you're partaking of the altar and you're not on the altar yourself, there's a horrible price you're going to pay for that. Amen?
Amen.
You got to be tough. Christ was rough and tough. And if you're a Jewish, you know, muzzle tough. That means rots are ruck. Okay? That's the Japanese say. And no offense to you Japanese people that are listening to this. All right, then what?
What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything?
No, because if you're not sacrificing yourself unto the Lord, then you're sacrificing yourself unto an idol. Something in this world. There's something that's preventing you from partaking in the altar of Christ, eating and drinking and breathing him, and partaking and also being on the altar yourself. There's something that's preventing you from getting on the altar. And so if you're not on the altar, you're not partaking of it. You're not eating and drinking and breathing Christ. The tree of life is not in you. Right? You're not one bread with him. You're not broken. He says, this is my body. Who is his body? Are we not his body?
Yes.
Amen. Which is broken for the world. Amen?
Amen.
He's the head, we're the body. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, what else?
But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice...
Yeah, anyone, they sacrifice everything unto idols. Amen? So you're either you're a spiritual Israelite, and your home, your future home is the New Jerusalem, and you're part of the New Jerusalem right now, or you're an idol worshiper, and your future home is hell, and then the lake of fire. Read it again.
But I say that the things with the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God.
Right. When we're on the altar, we sacrifice our life to God. Amen?
Amen.
But the Gentiles, anyone that's not of the Lord, is a Gentile. And you're just sacrificing yourself unto devils. Some devilish thing. You see all these people sacrificing themselves to lesbianism, homosexuality, becoming like four-footed beasts. A four-footed beast, you can see them having sex down the street, you know, like a dog's. Yeah. And the humans have made themselves like that. They're having sex in these pornography books and magazines, these television programs and all these different things. They make themselves shameful. They don't care who they display their bodies to. They're lovers of Satan. They're idolaters. They hate God. They're haters of God. Then what?
And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils.
You're not supposed to do the things that devils do. Well, people say, well, we see it on TV and everybody else is doing it. That may be true, but I'm from the old school. Amen?
Amen.
From the Lord's school. Because I don't want to go to hell. Not with those fornicators, adulterers, lesbians, homosexuals, and all the other perverts in the world that love to display their bodies to the world. Even before I was saved, I wouldn't do that. I was worked out, and people thought I could win a contest. And so I didn't want to do that because of the little skimpy outfits that you have to wear. Even unsaved, I wanted to be a human being, not somebody could say, look, it's shame on him, for doing that. Shame on him. I don't want shame. I want glory, forever. And I want people to, I know every soul that I win, when I'm walking down the streets in glory, and every soul that you win, because you made a stand against the tempter. You said no to him, to any temptation again. They're going to be thanking you eternally on the streets. Thanks for standing against Satan in that world. I saw that, and it wasn't so much what you said, but it was what you did. You didn't do the things the rest of the world does. We didn't see you crawl around to your hands and knees on some skin flick. We didn't see you being a lesbian or a homosexual or a pervert of some type. We saw you resisting all that and coming against it. You don't really have to, you just don't do what the tempter is tempting you to do. And just because a bunch of harebrains are doing it, that's all the more reason for you to not do it, unless you too are a harebrain. Amen?
Amen.
Or a demon, a devil. Then what?
Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils.
You cannot be. Display your body like that and do things that beasts, that you see them doing as you're going through fields, you see the cows and the bulls and the horses and the donkeys and everybody doing their thing out there. No, we expect that out of animals. But if you're going to give glory to the Lord, you don't do things like that. Amen?
Amen.
You're going to partake, surrender your entire life to the Lord so that you can be a preacher of the gospel, a prophet or a prophetess. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils.
No, you've got to eat strictly from the Lord's table. You have to eat his flesh, drink his blood. This means his words, and then breathe him in. Eat his manna, not from any other table. Okay, then what?
Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient.
That means like there's a lot of things that are in the Bible that's lawful to do. But if somebody's going to be thrown, if you like, they're vegetarians and you say, I eat meat. And they say, if you eat meat, I don't believe you're of the Lord. Paul's saying, like, I won't eat any meat if it's going to throw somebody's soul because they're a vegetarian. I'll just eat vegetables with them. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'll become all things and do everything. That's lawful for me to eat meat, but I won't do it if it'll throw somebody's soul. It's lawful for me to do anything that the Lord tells me I can do in His Word. Amen?
Amen.
But I'm not going to openly say it or do it around anybody that could throw their souls. Amen?
Amen.
Because that'd be like casting your pearls before the swine. And they're not going to appreciate it. They'll turn and rend you, tear you to pieces. Then what?
All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not.
Now, if it doesn't edify somebody, just don't do it, even though you know you can in private do something. All right, then what else?
Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth.
Right, I don't want to tell them, listen, I can do this and that, and then just destroy their soul. Paul is saying that I will not do what I know is lawful in front of them if they think it's unlawful. They're so weak that they can't receive it. I'll wait until maybe they get stronger in the Lord and then do it. But if the Holy Spirit is checking me on doing something in front of somebody that they think is wrong because they're weak, they don't know the Scriptures, well, then you just, it's not expedient. It's not necessary to do it. Just put the knife to your throat. Okay, then what else?
Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake.
Yeah, this dinner here, we're sacrificing, this is a dinner for this man that wants to bomb different countries. That man is against the Lord. He's an idol worshiper. He's an idol. Amen?
Amen.
Don't eat to him. A lot of people think that idols are just stone figures. But we're going to honor this man that just approved homosexuality in the country, idolatry, and perversion. I'm not going to eat anything sacrificed unto that guy. All right? Then what else? And many other things, too. Then what?
Eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
It belongs to the Lord, and it's going to continue to be belonging to him after he refurbishes it, burns it, and purifies it. It's back. Whatever the devil is doing here, he's short-lived. He knows his time is short. So whoever, if you're worshiping the devil now, you're just not doing what the Lord says. You are worshiping the devil, whether you believe you are or not. And your condemnation, you're already condemned. And if you continue in that way without repenting, you're condemned not only to die, but to burn forever in the lake of fire. And what else?
Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other.
Right, he says, you hurt another man's conscience. And if you don't partake in the things of the feast unto an idol, it's going to strike other people's consciences there. He's right. And their conscience is going to convict them, and they're going to know that they're sinning if they eat unto things unto sacrifice unto idols. Right? And then what else?
For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience?
Right, you know what that means? I'm at liberty to do whatever the Lord says I can do, but if a person thinks it's wrong, I really am guilty if I do it in front of him because I'm making him judge me for something that I know is correct in the eyes of the Lord, but in reality I shouldn't have done it in the first place because the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. And it's not Satan, but for my conscience sake, and for his conscience sake, because if he could be judging me for something and later on find out that he was wrong, and then his conscience is going to be troubled. Amen? So you just don't do it. Okay, then what?
For if I by grace be a partaker...
By the power of God... be a partaker, then what?
Why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks?
Right, because people will judge you whether you're, if you're right. Everybody that's right And the more right you are, the more people are going to judge you, especially those that don't know the word. They're judging with their own judgment. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God.
I give glory to the Lord, not yourself, right? Then what?
Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
All right, if we're conscious of who we're in front of, who we're with, and what we're doing, then we will do things the way the Lord says it. If we're not supposed to, if he commands us not to do the things that are lawful in the eyes of the Lord in front of people that think they're unlawful, then be conscious of that and don't throw their souls. Read the last statement.
Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Because the main thing that the Lord wants us to profit is for those that they can have the same salvation we have. Amen?
Amen.
So just do all things considering the other person before yourself. And that's why people that just think of themselves will never be able to do that unless they receive these scriptures and then do them. Because a person that hears and doesn't do is an idol worshiper. And they're drinking. They may be eating and drinking the Lord, but they're not doing what he says, so they're actually eating and drinking the cup of devils. Because the devil knows the word. He knows God. He knows Jesus. But he doesn't do what the Lord commands for him to do. He does the exact opposite. But he knows the word. And the devils know Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says so. And they tremble at his name. This is Tony Alamo, and this has been tape number 39. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you.